In our last class, we saw that the gospel of the kingdom, proclaimed by the Lord Jesus Christ, referred to a literal earthly kingdom as opposed to the concept that was brought into the church in the 5th century of an ethereal spiritual kingdom in a believer's heart. Now, in that future physical kingdom, the Lord will govern it from the throne of David in Jerusalem. We saw in Matthew chapter 19 that the question of a rich young man about eternal life was linked by the Lord to the coming kingdom in verses 1 through 27. He linked eternal life with the kingdom of heaven. I think at this point it wouldn't hurt to go back and look at Matthew 16 through 28, just as by means of review from the previous class, and to better understand what we're going to now study as we continue in Matthew 28. So I'm going to begin in verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do, that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Well, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all, and we followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Just now, let's move on. In verse 27, Peter speaks out, as he so often does, speaks for all the disciples by asking a very natural question about the conversation they had just witnessed. He asked, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have thereof? Notice very carefully here, they had forsaken everything they had for the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, very naturally, they sought a reward, a place in the Lord's earthly kingdom. Notice very carefully the Lord's answer, keeping in mind that the disciples believed in an earthly kingdom, as did all Jewish people who were taught biblically in those days, that it would be an earthly kingdom and not a spiritual unseen kingdom in the hearts of believers. I stress this because that teaching, an unseen kingdom in the hearts of believers, didn't exist until the 400 ADs. Notice what Jesus answered to them after Peter had asked and was desiring a reward for all that they had done by forsaking and following the Lord. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Clearly, the Lord didn't rebuke them because they sought a reward. In fact, scripturally, we see the concept of reward is often used because it's used by the Lord as a proper motivation for people. We all know that if there's a genuine reward for what we're putting forth in effort, we're much more into doing it. And that isn't wrong. That's something God has created to give us the incentive to work hard and do our best. Now, Jesus Christ's reply to the disciples answers two important questions for them and for us. What will the earthly kingdom be like if it's not a spiritual, ethereal kingdom? And secondly, when will the kingdom come? The answer to both these questions is in Matthew 19:28, where Jesus says, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, will be the answer to those two questions." What does regeneration mean? Well, it's made up of two Greek words. The first is palin, meaning again, specifically the idea of a repetitious action, as that of the moving of an oscillating fan back and forth, back and forth. The second word is Genesis. I think you didn't realize it, but you know a Greek word, Genesis. What does that word mean to you? It really is the word for beginning. So if we put these two words together, we get the concept of Genesis again, or a repeating of the beginning, or Genesis. The classical Greek writers used the word in reference to the changes produced by the return of spring, that seasonal beginning again. As I look out of the windows of my study and I see flowers coming up and the trees starting to turn to that beautiful spring green, I know that winter is past that dismal period of time, and now we've recycled and we're back to that beginning again of the yearly cycle with spring. This word is used only one other time in the Bible, in Titus 3:5, where we read, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." In this verse, Paul is saying that the washing of regeneration saves us, or if you will, genesis us again. Or as John in chapter 3, verse 3 says, he calls it to be born again. The concept is that you are spiritually restored to the original state that God planned for you. That state is a restored, righteous fellowship with God. The same state which Adam and Eve had with God in the garden before they sinned against him and against his word. In Judaism, the word regeneration implies that messianic age will bring in a time of righteousness after the tribulation or Jacob's trouble. Because there are only two uses of the word regeneration in the Bible, we need to search further to help us understand why the kingdom must be a physical kingdom and also when it will be. Turning to Acts chapter 1, we see the disciples returning to the question of the regeneration of the kingdom. In verse 3, Luke tells us the subject of the Lord's teaching during those 40 days following his resurrection. We read, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and notice, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." His focus of teaching was about the kingdom of God. Now, again, place yourself in the position of the disciples. Recall how important that kingdom was to them. They had given up everything they had to follow the Lord. And in doing that, they had to witness the Lord's crucifixion. Can you imagine what that must have done to them, thinking there was a coming kingdom at any moment, and to see him crucified, dead, and then buried? But rejoicing of rejoicing, he came alive and was resurrected on the third day. Why did he do that? It proved that he had conquered death. He had paid for their sins, for your sins, for my sins. And the payment had been complete for all. Jesus Christ had done it on the cross for us. Now, they knew by this point, after the resurrection, that the purpose of Jesus Christ's first coming was just as Matthew had stated in chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus Christ had accomplished the first phase, if you will, of his ministry to Israel on the earth, and saved his people from their sins. That second phase will be the coming of the kingdom, and that's why he spent 40 days teaching them. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, the disciples, knowing that the Lamb Messiah had provided salvation through the cross, they now wondered when the Lord would begin his earthly role as King Messiah, as spoken by the prophets. Thus in verse 6 they asked, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Notice four significant aspects to this short little verse. First of all, we observe that their question indicated that the disciples believed the Lord's kingdom hadn't begun yet, because they're asking, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom? In other words, are you going to do it now that you're resurrected? And during those 40 days, that's all he'd been teaching? And so that was a very natural question to them. Secondly, the kingdom they're talking about is related to the nation of Israel. Restore again the kingdom where? To Israel. Thirdly is the use of their word restore. To take us back. The idea of in the regeneration that he had told them about when they would rule over Israel, or is he going to restore it again? Is it going to happen now, the regeneration? And fourthly, notice the word again. This would seem to point us back to the previous historical and physical kingdom of Israel. Not a kingdom in a heart, in a believer's heart. This is to restore again, back to the original intent, the kingdom where? To Israel. Israel certainly was a historical and a physical kingdom. Now, let's look closely at this phrase, to restore again. Its meaning is very similar to the word regeneration. It means to return to the former state that Israel once had. Our understanding of restoration is made easier if we recall an incident in Matthew chapter 12 that occurred on a Sabbath in the local synagogue. At that time, the Pharisees were seeking to trap the Lord so that they might accuse him. Pointing to a man with a withered arm, they asked the Lord, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? After giving his teachings in verses 11 and 12, the Lord spoke to the man with the withered arm in verse 13. We read, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. This was no academic discussion between the Lord and the Pharisees about theology, but rather a practical application of the Lord's teaching of verses 11 and 12. Notice what happened. He was healed, but of even greater significance, his hand was restored completely like the other. Thus, the restored hand was just as if it had developed through the years in a normal way with no suggestion of disease or deformity. Thus, in this case, the restoration or the regeneration returned it back to its originally intended state. From both this illustration of a physical restoration, added to what we have learned earlier, we conclude that there can be spiritual and physical restoration and regeneration. In Titus 3:5 is the idea of our spiritual restoration to God as He originally intended us to be and have our fellowship with Him. A spiritual restoration. In Matthew 19:28 is the idea of a physical restoration or regeneration of the earth as it was originally intended. The risen Messiah is saying that in the regeneration, restoration, He will bring back the original kingdom of Eden. He will exercise His rule upon His throne, the throne of David, as it was originally intended. Now think about this a minute. Certainly an ethereal spiritual kingdom in a heart doesn't need restoration. Thus it must mean an earthly kingdom, a restored earth to its original state, physically and spiritually as God originally intended the kingdom to be on the earth. Truly, just as the Lord said in Matthew 19, spiritual and physical restorations impossible for man, but possible for God. Do you see? God is not promising a merely spiritual, invisible kingdom in our hearts and eternal life. No, but much, much more when He will restore the kingdom to this earth with Jesus Christ as the ruler and king, and with we, the church age believers, from Acts chapter 2 to the catching up of the church at the rapture, will be His bride, serving alongside of Him and worshiping Him, praising Him, and doing all that He asks of us in a literal earthly kingdom, the millennial kingdom on this earth. How we praise our Lord for His great plan and His word. May the Lord bless you mightily. We'll either see you here again or in the air.